You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. It's Mail It In Friday. Brought to you by 1 in 100.
Is this a... What day is this?
You've been lost all afternoon.
I'm so rattled by it.
Yeah, you mailed this one in.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, coming up here in just a moment. Get his take on the Leaf game last night. The Red Wings with a win in overtime. Silver lining. The Leafs were down 4-1 going into the third. They got a point. But can't play like that tomorrow night. You know, Boston, they're injury-riddled. They're not playing that well. They lost in Tampa last night, but they still have a lot of talent up front.
Well, and they play the Leafs tough, too.
They always play the Leafs tough. The Leafs were in Boston a few weeks ago. They got smoked. You know, the Leafs really got embarrassed in Boston a few weeks ago. So, William Nylander, he'll be in the lineup tomorrow night. We're not quite certain where he's going to end up playing, but we'll get into that with Ray. The Raptors are in action tonight. They're in Brooklyn. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. That just, you assume, is a layup. Roll into Brooklyn, pick up a win.
Drive in.
They're 21-5. You know, it's, you just assume they're going to beat a bad team in Brooklyn. Like these bad teams in the East, they don't lose to these guys.
They should win. Unless they do what the Leafs did last night and mail it in for a couple of quarters.
True, which it's can happen.
But it's harder to do that in basketball. Generally, talent wins.
Well, it's such a game of runs, right? Like, you just need to get hot for about 10 minutes, and then you're in good shape.
I find the work ethic in basketball, like, really elevates, then drops off. And it's tough running up and down the court, but, like, there's pockets of the game just being really sloppy, and then, you know, again, from a casual fan, the last 3 minutes or when the game is close is usually when it's guys really digging in. Other than that, it's when you put up 100 points each way, like...
But it's not shifts, right?
No.
So, like...
It's like soccer. You pick your moments. You're not sprinting around like a lunatic the whole game.
Although Kawhi is dialed in pretty good both sides.
Yeah. It works hard.
No, they've got a bunch of guys like that, like that are feeding off him. Siakam has been doing it. You know, Valanciunas, his numbers are way down, but his impact is way up. So we'll tee that game up a little bit later in the afternoon. Last night, we didn't get into this in the previous hour. Nicklas Cronwall with, I think you can label it a gray area hit on Matthews. And he got penalized for it. I don't think it was a suspendable play. No. They're going for a puck. But he hit him. It was certainly a penalty. It was a dirty hit. Not suspendable, but a dirty hit. We see fights all the time off clean hits.
Right.
And if it's a dirty hit, you would think that maybe the rules are going to change. But the reality is the Leafs just don't have the gunners for that. They don't have guys who are equipped to go out there and fight. And after Matthews got hit into the boards, I think the immediate concern was, okay, is he going to get up and be okay? And he said today he was just winded. He's fine. He'll be playing tomorrow night. And he played the rest of the game last night. There was a little bit of a scrum. Morgan Riley kind of got in there, but that was more just for show, I think. But we better do something here. But
at one point, when Austin was down, even Detroit players were standing there too. Like, you know, I think when Cronwall gives him a push and he's off balance, he's reaching for the puck. I thought he toe picked a little bit with his left skate. Like, it's a hit or a push you probably don't need to do, but it wasn't the most egregious play in the world. I was fine with the
boarding. But it's penalty. Who it is too, right?
That's like what it is.
That's the point.
We're not
it's
talking. Tyler Ennis did that. We're not even mentioning it.
No, today. You wouldn't be.
Like but it's Austin Matthews is coming off of missing 14 games. Like, and you know when the consensus you hear, like if McDavid gets touched like that, if that's Crosby or right throughout the league, if it's marquee players. Like even last night the Calgary game, I stayed SportsCenter. Like Matt Dumba steps up on Michael Backlund, who's in a vulnerable spot. Backlund's got his head down and gets crunched. If that was Austin or if that was Connor or these top notch players,
even that hit was okay though.
Like, I thought it was a fine hit.
Now who was the kid who jumped off the bench and it was a legal change? He was coming off anyway, but
yeah, Lombard.
Yeah, and he went after Dumba.
Well, he got suspended. He got an automatic suspension.
But the Leafs don't even have that type of guy. You know, that's a kid who's an energy kid trying to make some sort of a name for himself. And Babcock was asked about it today. you know, the lack of response and what happened last night and what he would like to see out of his team. And here's what Babcock said.
Well, I just think you look at our personnel, you look what we got. We are what we are. Our toughness is our power play. Take all the penalties you want.
And that's just the truth. They just don't have anybody who is equipped to say, I have to go and take care of this. I have to go and send a message to Nicholas Cronwall or anybody else on that team.
The game's and, changed, though,
Yeah,
too.
Do you think we're going to get to a point where we don't have these conversations? Like,
no.
There's this idea
I think there's
that,
always going to be players that feel like and, they don't have to be
but
told
it
to do it.
It doesn't even make sense. Like, the Leafs had one of those players in their lineup last year. It didn't stop hits from happening. Like, stuff happens in a game, and, like...
I don't think it's ever about stopping that. You're right. I mean, this idea that it was going to stop the hit isn't right. The point. I think it's that you send a message, don't ever do it again.
But that's not what happens. That's not... Like,
well, how do you know that? You're telling me in the history of the game, no one's ever said, you know what, maybe this time I'm not going to do it.
I'll prove the other side, though.
I'm going to prove it right now.
But then we're just going to dance around in circles. Right, you can't prove it, but you can't tell me my theory's stupid when you can't prove your theory.
Here.
Yeah.
I have a good analogy for this. You drive, do you take the 401?
Yeah.
You probably drive
slow.
Not
very often, only when I come here.
But I guarantee you probably drive slow.
Why would you assume that?
Because you look like you just drive slow and in the left lane.
That's stereotyping.
What I'm saying
is... Actually, it's funny. Like, a week ago, I was driving with my girlfriend, and she's like, why are you driving so slow?
Pick up the
pace,
Jonas.
I'm like, the speed limit.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll bring Ray in, because okay. I want Ray to weigh in on, as well.
Okay, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Are you surprised Jonas drives as slow as he does?
No, Jonas is a 67-year-old inside of his body.
I respect Noodle, the law.
How do I drive, Noodles?
I think you drive aggressive, but you're lost. So that's my concern with you, is that you'll drive fast, but you don't know where the hell you're going. So that's so then you have to slow down, and then you'll change lanes and be like, oh, no, I got to turn left up here, so I'm just going to cut across three lanes. Like, to me, you drive
counterproductive in the
confused.
End.
That would be the word.
Yeah, okay, so this is how accurate that description is. I've been in Vancouver since 2002. I end up in parts of the city I've never been in. And I'm not trying to get there. And I'll just be like, damn, I'm in East Vancouver here. How did I miss this exit? I don't even know where I am. And yeah. You got the dashboard thing helping you out, but I still don't know where I am. But I do get there relatively quickly.
Just
to nowhere.
Some people just have that in them. Like, I don't know. How would you guys describe the way I drive?
You drive like a maniac, too.
No, I
yes,
don't.
Yes, you do. I've seen you passed me on the 401. I'm like, where the hell's this guy think he's going? The show. I know when the show starts.
Yeah.
It's not in 5 minutes, because I'm on the road, too.
No.
Where do you think you're going?
This is what I know about Noodles. There is not a minute in the day not scheduled.
Yes.
So if he's got to be at Sports Center at 6:15...
Yeah.
He leaves at 6:14 so he can get there, walk in, set up, boom, finished. Because at 6:23, he's got to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I think I would say that's how you drive, too.
Efficiency. That's what I like to live by, the word efficiency. So it drives me nuts when somebody is in front of me that is confused and is not knowing where they're going. Speed limit, I try and respect it as much. Like, I'm not a guy who's, like, weaving out. I don't like to be a dink on the road. Mm-hmm. I think we have to respect the vehicles big time. But why I get frustrated in, especially a city like Toronto, L.A., big cities, because there's so many people, it's, you just, there's no predictability whatsoever. Like, if somebody's driving, let's say, on the 401, you expect them to be going at least 100, maybe 105. And if they're going to go slower and want to be more cautious, move to
get
the right.
Over.
Get
Wait,
the
so
hell
are
out
you,
of the way.
Do you get right on their...
No, but I will give a little toot. And I yell a lot of times in my car, let's go or whatever. And
doesn't achieve anything.
I've been using the word, I don't like to swear a lot, but I use the word dipstick. Like, what is this dipstick doing?
Do you stare down after you pass?
No, I try to move on with life. But here,
well, you know though that Jonas is driving 94 in the middle lane.
Yeah,
it's not true. I go about 118.
He's like a cork.
118 is
like
fine.
118, just so I don't get a ticket.
Okay, so let me pull my analogy.
Yeah, bring
into
us back
this.
To the analogy.
I'm
going to
bring it back
the Leafs
into
the Cronwall
the
on
fighting
Matthews.
Scenario. People always ask me about fighting being a deterrent. I didn't see it that way. I mean, when Ray and I played, I think it was a different story. What I always thought about fighting or potential is, say you're driving down the highway and there's a cop at the side of the road, what is your natural instinct to do?
Slow down.
Just be a little bit more responsible. And I felt, now again, I may be dating myself, I felt like a lot of that dynamic potentially on the benches would allow guys to just think just a little bit differently. They may not act differently because there are guys who will always be agitators. There will be guys who will do that regardless. But to me, it curbed a little bit of a thought process. That's the way I
especially
feel about
with specific
fight.
Players, I think. You right. know, again, we mentioned if Cromwell hits Ennis, I don't care if Ty Domi in his prime is on the bench. He's probably like, nah, let it slide. But it's Matthews.
Right.
And that is different. Protecting him or trying to put him in a position to feel comfortable on the ice, I think matters. What do you make of this, Ray?
Well, I understand it, but so as we know that if you have a deterrent sitting on the bench, he's never on the ice with Matthews anyway.
Right.
And so by the time Matthews gets crashed into the boards, the next time he can do something about it is the next time the coach lets him out on the ice, because he's going to play just a few minutes anyway. We know the game has gone away from those players.
Right.
So there's less and less opportunity to have somebody like that. Now, you know, does that mean that you chase a player like, I don't know, Zach Kassian? Or, you know, because Milan Lucic doesn't do it. He's not, you know, like that's not the way he plays anymore. Who has guys that are real deterrents in their lineup? There's not many anymore.
I think teams have just team toughness, like Vegas had that last year. You could see they had some guys who could handle themselves
now, okay,
that were
so
big and stronger.
There's one, right? There's Wilson.
Yeah, there's Washington. I call them functioning tough guys or guys who could play and play high in your lineup. But, you know, I'll give you an example, and this is actually in the new school of thought. I don't know if you guys saw the Edmonton-Calgary game. Was that 2 weekends ago? Where
Nurse and Bennett. Yeah.
Nurse and Bennett, but Kassian went after Tkachuk. Tkachuk was stirring it up, and Kassian went after him and took a dumb penalty, and Tkachuk won that. He won, basically. He basically said, I'm going to get them off their game. I'm going to be chasing everyone around, go after McDavid after the whistle. Kassian didn't control himself, and he ended up taking a penalty. Calgary scored on the power play, and Calgary won the game. They didn't look back after that. What I would have done, and again, it's easier said than done from the hindsight, Kassian goes to Tkachuk. The next time you look at McDavid, I'm going to punch Goudreau in the face. And that may get them thinking differently, because I just point over to the bench and say, Goudreau, if McDavid gets touched, you're getting touched. And guaranteed
well,
there's
but
a...
But just think, though, Noodles, that, I agree, 100%. It's the only way to put a lid on any of it. But in the Toronto lineup, who was even going to make that statement?
Nobody. Like, but that's the way that they're constructed, and that's the way the game is played. We're talking about one scenario here. Like, it's
a bad
scenario.
But it's because of the player it is, though.
Correct.
Like, again, you can't lose sight of that.
Right.
It's Matthews.
Superstar.
It's
yeah.
it's the superstar of superstars.
Right.
It's Austin Matthews, who everyone is holding their breath a bit when he's on the ice.
For sure.
And it wasn't a suspendable hit, but it was a greasy hit. He got penalized for it, and he deserved to. It was a boarding, and... You know, I'm not screaming for the old school. I don't need that.
Yeah.
But I can understand where Babcock is saying, you know, I think he handled it appropriately. He's being honest.
Yeah,
he's like, we just don't have them. But I could see him looking at that saying, I wouldn't mind some sort of a response. Like, because there's a difference between, and Ray, you tell me where you place value in this, if you place any at all. You know, I think we keep coming back to this goon that needs to be on the ice to go out there and punch people. No.
It's not there anymore.
But is there, you know, do you need more than just kind of a contrived scrum to, hey, we didn't like it, we're all going to pretend like we're pushing here, okay, moving on. Do you need more than that in the moment?
If he can play. So, say he's on your fourth line. He's got to be able to do something other than run around the ice for 6 minutes. He's got to kill penalties for you. Like, there's got to be a function, because it seems like coaches want to play their four lines more and more. And then you look at some teams where maybe you can afford to have a guy that's maybe a little closer to that line, because you play your star guy 23 and 24 minutes a night. Like, I guess there's different ways to go about it. I think I would like a little size. When I look at the Leafs, I would say that's and not because you could have asked me this yesterday morning, and I would have said the same thing. I'm a little concerned about whether they've got enough moxie in a playoff run. Not for now. They're better than everybody else. They beat everybody else. They score four goals a night. But that's the one thing, and I think it's a concern for Babcock, too, is that they'd like, I think he'd like to have, and I, when I view it, I think, like to see a little more firmness sprinkled into their lineup. On every line, but it would be nice. But the guy's got to be able to play. If he can't keep up with the rest of the team, he's going to look like a bulldozer out there trying to keep up to a race car.
I agree, right? I don't disagree. And when you look at, let's just look at the company that the Leafs are in. Winnipeg, like, they've got team toughness because Buff can move things around. Adam Lowry can move things around. Wheeler's not a fighter, but Wheeler has shown that he'll stand up for his teammates. And that team is large and can move. Like, that's the one thing. Washington last year, like, they could move and they could be physical, but they were still highly skilled and they won the cup. So those are the teams that you're probably looking at.
Nashville
has Johansson. I know Austin Watson is farther down in your lineup, but he's still a guy who can give you a regular shift. I don't know if Kyle looks at this and says, do we need something? Is it team toughness? But when you're looking at just overall snapshot of your team, then it's not constructed that way. It's fine. But in scenarios like this, or if you got to play seven games against the Winnipeg Jets, how are you going to hold up physically?
What about last year in the playoffs against Boston? Like, Boston's not huge, but like, they have all these like plucky guys like that. And it exposed the Leafs a little bit last year.
It did. I mean, Ray, like, I wouldn't even.
Well, okay, so here's Noodles. You scanned over the Winnipeg. I'll give you a guy here. He's not going to fight too much or anything, and I don't think that's a necessity. But like Brandon Tanev and Andrew Kopp,
yeah,
like they're physical and they can skate. And Tanev is a total pain in the ass, and he's a terrific penalty killer. And the only guy I can think of, tell me if I've fogged out here for a minute, is Hyman. That would be at all in the same mix.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's room for another forward to meld into their fourth line a little bit. If Tyler Ennis is going to play 7 minutes a night or 8 minutes a night and play on the fourth line, is that a spot that they could maybe look at a little bit differently?
But it's like, who is that guy, Ray?
Like league-wide, you're saying?
Yeah, like, do you just go out and say, we need a fourth liner who's a little bit feisty?
Could be a third liner, though,
good to be a third liner on this team.
That's what I'm saying. He's a third liner on somebody else's team, and he becomes a fourth liner on your team because of the depth of the organization. So you may be looking at...
But he's got to have a purpose, though.
Exactly.
Right? He can't just be there to be big. He's got to be able to play. He's got to be able to make a play. The Leafs are built in a... You know, in the way that as we all, I think, see them, and it's you get the puck, you move it, you skate, you get to the next place, you make another play. Like, if it comes over to you and the play dies on your stick, Babcock's not going to play anyway.
No.
They had that last year, and he stopped playing him.
Right, Matt Martin. Correct.
Yeah.
But that's not the player I think you're looking at now.
I would say, Jonas, that's not that maybe I'm not clear enough on that, but I would be more interested in a guy like Kopp or a guy like Tanev, since we're talking about the Jets. Somebody like who's actually had a really good start in Vancouver is Antoine Roussel. Like somebody like that, that you can, he can run around a little bit, he can give you some energy, he'll pop somebody in the nose if he has to, he'll kill penalties for you. Like, you've got to have a function. I'm not talking about the guy that, you know, used to stand out there and, you know, his shadow would cast over your end of the ice and everybody would go, holy crap, I hope he never gets on the ice. Like, those guys are...
It was last year, it was a guy like Polak. I mean, we're looking at the top, the front end. Maybe when you're adding defensemen at the deadline, like, right. I just got sent a note, which I would agree with. Maybe it's a guy like Petrovic, or Petrovic is his actual name, but it's Petrovic in Florida, who can play. He's gone up and down your lineup, but he also isn't shy to drop the gloves. So it's a guy who's maybe hardened but can still fit into your system in today's world and the way Babs and Kyle want to build their team and advance the puck. Like, that's maybe a guy that you find at the deadline and don't pay a king's ransom for.
Yeah, and you know what I think is important to always point out? Like, we use this one saying that we all use. It's, well, this is the way the game's played, as if every team plays the exact same way.
Right.
And you can predict the way the other team's going to play. You can't. You don't know how the other team's going to play. You don't. It's a sport. It's unpredictable. All hell can break loose.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying you completely throw out your philosophy. That's not going to happen. Kyle Dubas is not going to build a team that way. He's not going to change the way he builds his team. But, you know, obviously you have to play. It's a requisite. You have to have some skill. You got to move the puck.
We're talking about Toronto only. What does Tampa do?
Well, Tampa's in a similar boat.
Like, to me, those two teams are built almost identically. Of course, the personnel is different and all that, but Tampa doesn't have... I mean, they got Cedric Paquette, but...
And they've been pretty good. Like,
Colburn.
I think we're overrating this. Is it possible we're overrating this?
Well, we're in the moment.
Like, we're talking about one guy. Like, so let's say they get one guy. Does that really change anything in like the scheme of things?
No.
Not necessarily.
This is who they are. Like, and that's good. That's fine.
But I have heard the saying, and not just from Leaf players, but I've heard it throughout the league, that certain players make you feel a little bit taller, a little bit more confident. Like Austin Matthews guaranteed makes his line mates feel more confident because, hey, I'm going to get the puck. Hey, I'm going to be able to make plays here. I think somebody who has a little bit of combat in them may also draw out some combat. Like Nazem Kadri would go into a scrum knowing that he has backup because that guy, he has jam. Regardless of what you think of Nazem or the way he plays, like he has jam. And
I guess this all becomes trying to build as perfect a team as you can. Right. And that's not really possible, right? Because it's never going to be a perfect team. And are you, you know, what do you think Ozhiganov's there for? Because he's big. I mean, that gives him a leg up on the other guys, on Rosen, for sure. He's there because they can use him he can play against bigger people. He can kill penalties. But is he replaceable? Sure he is. But maybe it's not even going to come to that. Maybe nothing's going to happen. Guys are going to get hurt or not hurt because in most cases the response is too late. The guy's already banged up.
Right. Well, absolutely.
I didn't care if my team was the toughest team. I did notice though when we weren't very tough that you kind of get pushed around a little bit. But that was a long time ago. It's not today's game.
Well, and that's a part of the evolution is the mentality of you know, the individual players, but also the team. I mean, I remember when I was younger, just playing junior, and you guys, I'm sure, had it. It was even more probably in your face, because you guys are older than I am, that, you know, you always stood up for your teammates. You always protected each other. And there was always a sense if someone took advantage of you on the ice, you could tell if your guys were there or if they weren't. And now it kind of feels like what the Leafs are saying is we're not going to be there.
Right.
Like if someone gets you, sorry, you're on your own. We're going to try to score on the power play.
Right.
Which I'm not saying that's wrong necessarily. But it's very different. You know, this hockey culture and hockey mentality that keeps evolving. That there's no way a coach in 1985 would have said, boys, big power play here.
It's a
chance.
Great point, Brian. Does that send a message through the league that, like, hey, this is how we can get to the Leafs, is, like, start banging on Austin.
But that stuff is all a show now anyway, where you run after the guy who makes the hit. Like, it's not.
And then I'm saying if I'm going to lean on the Leafs, physically, I know I can get into their head. In a 7-game series, when I'll come back to Washington, you've got guys that are ultra skilled, like Oshie and Ovechkin, throwing the body around and pushing them around in the corners and stuff like that. And not even
I got another one coming.
Throwing a guy like Orpik or anybody else.
You got another hit coming up here, Ray, or what?
I'm just telling the guy I'll be back. Yeah, I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay.
I thought it was on. I thought I put it on hold. I said, I'll be right back.
Yeah, not on mute. Just on live radio in Toronto.
Wait, a mute malfunction.
That could have been worse, except I'm just setting up the Winnipeg hit, too. So.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, well, I guess we'll let you go. Winnipeg. It's great catching up with you.
Hey, by the way, Yeah, you know, I would say that's that can only be blamed in one person. That would be me.
Yeah.
That's all good.
A mute malfunction. You're right, man. That could have been a career-altering mute malfunction, too.
Yeah, if you thought you pressed mute and said, would you shut the, you know, like yelling at somebody.
I'm on with this Hayes loser. God, exactly. I hate this guy.
Would this McLennan stop talking?
I told my mom in Toronto, shut the
Well, say hi to our friends in Winnipeg. We're always big fans of their work, and we'll do it again Monday at 5.
I'll try and get the mute sorted out by then.
All right,
talk
buddy.
To you later.
There he is. Bye. Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Is the 2019 Toyota Corolla the safest vehicle on the road? See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla-thon and get rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com. That was a Brucey Boudreaux.
I just told Miles to, like, do you have it? All right, let's hear it. And stuff like that, and not even...
I got another one coming.
Throwing a guy like Orpik.
Mute malfunction. That really could spin your whole career out of control.
I tried to fight through it, but then I was like, no.
It was pretty obvious. But yeah, it's...
And I,
it's a philosophical conversation in the sports world, in the hockey world, and everyone's going to have a different view. What they think is important, what they don't think is important.
It's copycat league, though, too, right? So Pittsburgh won a couple in a row where, you know, it was speed and tempo, and the league was trending that direction. And you know, did they do it with toughness? Did they not do it with toughness? And then last year, Washington wins it. Like, everyone is tries to shape. And I looked at the finals last year, and it's Vegas and Washington, two, I guess on paper, a little bit heavier teams that grinded away. But you take a look at the division and the conference you play in, too. Out west, like, there's some big teams out there. Like, Nashville and Winnipeg, that was a heavy series.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone would concede, everybody, including if you watch Winnipeg, they're immensely skilled. You know, Nashville.
Which is why they're good.
Exactly. Like, skill is a priority. No, like, just because you have a bunch of guys who are 6'5", if they can't skate and handle the puck, it doesn't matter. Like, skill and hockey IQ is the priority. But I think, you know, you can use it with individual players or you can use it as a team. If you have two players who are the exact same skill set, give or take, put it this way, can put forth the same productivity. Each guy's going to score you 30 goals and 70 points. Really good player. Mm-hmm. You can have the one guy who's 5'9", 170, or the other guy who's 6'4", 230. Who are you taking?
Yeah,
I think it's pretty safe to say you're taking 6'4", 230, if everything's equal. Just because size, it can factor in different ways. And
oh, for sure.
I think it's the same thing with a team. You know, if you're equally skilled, where's the difference going to play out? It could be the goaltender, but it also could be that team was just bigger and over seven games.
Wore you down.
They just beat you up.
You win 50-50 battles in the corner. Like, mm-hmm. you expect. This is why I always talk about the size of goaltender's equipment. And I'm for streamlining it, because to me, you should look at a body type in the net and be able to tell. So, for example, a guy like Koskinen in Edmonton, who's 6'7", he should have a leg up on, you know, UC Saros in Nashville. But Saros's gear a couple of years ago would have been huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, it's the same thing. You go into the corner, Chara should win a physical battle over whoever.
Absolutely.
Name your partner.
We got a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Panthers, December 20th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And today is the final clue, and the phone lines will be open at 416-870-1050. The final clue. This Maple Leaf famously rocked a blue mohawk during the playoffs. This guy we definitely know. Friend of the show. 416-870-1050. Name that Leaf and you're going to see Leafs take on the Panthers December 20th. Mail It In Friday brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance at winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net and your first entry will be free. Brian Hayes, Jonas Siegel of The Athletic, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We'll get to future headlines a little bit later in the afternoon. Thursday night or last night was a dud, but Tennessee laid a beating on Jacksonville. And Derrick Henry, who won the Heisman a couple of years ago, he had a 99-yard touchdown last night and one of the more vicious stiff arms. There's been a few of them handed out recently. And the stiff arm has to be the most demeaning you know, play in sports, to be on the wrong side.
He did like three of them.
Yes, he did.
Like, it was embarrassing. Like, the guys running up to him were monsters, too. And yeah, he was just...
Move.
Go away.
Move.
Go away.
Like, it's just such a savage play. You must feel, like, so amazing after you pull off a stiff arm.
It was a great move in Madden. Do you play Madden?
The best, yeah.
Oh, I love stiff arm somebody?
Yeah, it was great. It didn't work all the time, but when you did, it was like...
You just push somebody out of the way?
Yeah. We were basically in the NFL. You pull off a stiff arm in Madden at 3 in the morning.
I like the juke.
The juke was great. Madden, I haven't played Madden in years, but pretty sure it's still the most popular game. In the States, it would be anyway. Like, I think worldwide, FIFA blows all of them out of the water for sports games. Like, none of them come close to Call of Duty or any of the Rockstar games.
Or what's that one that people play now?
Fortnite.
Yeah, Fortnite. That.
Yeah. Fortnite.
You guys played that?
No, I've never played it.
No, me neither.
Is it available for both sides? Like, is
like
it...
Xbox and PS?
Yes. Because I have...
PlayStation still a thing? I don't even know, man.
I've got Xbox. Out of the loop. I know that.
Like, I have a PlayStation. I think I have a PlayStation 3 or something. I bought it probably 8 or 9 years ago. More than that, 10 years ago.
Well, you'd probably need to update then.
Yeah. I haven't played a game in years.
What games do you have?
Like Grand Theft Auto? Like Madden 09? Like Grand Theft 2?
Grand Theft 2.
Like nothing made in this decade.
But can I ask you a question about Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Do you think there's something to, like, you get really close, and then the next year, like we're seeing with the Houston Rockets too, where like you get really close to being something special,
yeah,
and then you miss it, and the next year you're just like, we don't have it now.
I think it can be deflating, but I think if that were to happen, if that were to be true, then I would feel good about them getting back on track next year. Like, if the Rockets stay intact, I think next year I could see them winning 65 games. And for whatever reason, this year it just didn't work. They were up 3-2 on Golden State. Chris Paul gets injured. It falls apart. You know, a couple guys have to move on because of the cap crunch. The Melo experiment was a mess. But I have no faith in the Jaguars turning this back around because I thought last year was more of a mirage. Their defense was outstanding. Leonard Fournette played pretty well. But their quarterback has always been a fraud, in my opinion. He just has not ever been good enough, and I don't think he ever will be. And they've kind of moved on from him, and I think Tom Coughlin, who's running the show down there, is going to try to acquire a quarterback this upcoming offseason. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel I think the Jags, it just everything worked for them last year, and everything came together, but they're not this bad. They're not as good as they were last year. They're somewhere in the middle. Where the Rockets, I can't really... Like, they got smoked last night again in Utah.
They got killed, and, like Gobert didn't even play most of the
game. He got ejected in the first half.
Yeah.
And they smoked Houston last night.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I like the ejection. Like, guys get tossed.
Well, did you see what... Like, he went on Instagram. I guess he was working out. You would know this as a guy who was ejected the last time you actually played a professional sports game.
Yeah, that was a different.
Do you have like some sort of an obligation to stick around and like work out and act like a hero, or can you just gear up and be like, I'm out of here?
Mine was an unfortunate incident, and it was right near the end of the game, so I just kind of hung out until the guys came in. But usually, like guys who, if you get ejected on the road, you just shower and you wait in the room, watch the game on the TV, and move on. I got thrown out of a game in the minors halfway through the game. Former Leaf was the ref, Kevin McGuire.
Kevin McGuire, yeah.
Tossed me out of a game.
What did you do?
He made a terrible call. He.
But was there a word you said that pushed it over?
You must have gone crazy on the guy.
I was not playing well, and a guy wrapped it around, and it hit the post and went out, straight out into the corner. And he said it went in and out. He blew the whistle and was like, that was a goal. I'm like, are you crazy? And then I started yelling at him, flipped the net over, and then people were throwing things on the ice, and they were like those plastic clappers, and I was just smashing them like everywhere. And it was early on. I'd just been sent to the minors. And
early on in the game, though? So
it was halfway through the game.
So but you're on the road.
My tenure. We were in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay.
I got tossed, and I took a swipe at the sign on the way out, too. So I put on a full show.
You made your mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert, after getting tossed, was in the weight room, shirt off, of course, because he had to post it on Instagram.
Yeah,
I was like, go get it, guys. It's like, yeah, just give it a rest. How about John Tortorella last night? Torts in a hoodie coaching that game.
Now, the backstory is he's sick,
Yeah, he's got the flu, I think, which... I have no problem with this.
I love it.
It is cold down there. Like, the players, they're not cold because they're sweating and they're on the ice. The every coach and every trainer, they're in a suit. It's freezing down
I'm in between the benches. I freeze my ass off.
Why not wear a
hoodie? Summer are really, really cold.
I got all the time in the world for this because coaches never miss games due to illness. Very rarely.
I think this could be a game changer. Now, was it Fatorik that wore the sweaters all the time? Was it Robbie Fatorik?
Oh, yeah.
He used to wear, like, the yellow sweaters behind the bench. He had a tie on and then a sweater over top of it.
Should I ask Mike Babcock the next time I see him if he'd wear a hoodie behind the bench? Probably wouldn't.
Go for it.
He wouldn't.
If he's not feeling well, he would put on a bit of a heroic type of response. Like, he's never going to do it. But he's I'm not saying you should do it all the time, but if you're freezing cold and you're sick and you're out there kind of grinding through the game, go for it.
I think Columbus won in overtime, too, 4-3. Right?
I got time in the world for that.
Doesn't he wear the jackets under his suit now?
Yeah, he's multi-layered anyway.
So maybe he's chilly.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
That rink is cold.
Yeah, I could see that. Max Domi with just a vicious chirp earlier this week on Zach Smith.
Game.
This I got to give this kid credit, man. I like this chirp.
Did you like that one?
He starts mouthing out waivers to Zach Smith because, as we know, Zach Smith was placed on waivers during training camp, and then he immediately came back up. And I think he's played pretty much every game for Ottawa. Right. And Smith wasn't happy about it, which he shouldn't be. But I like that old school chirping. Guys used to chirp about, guys' wives and moms and sisters.
Yes.
This is, everyone knows you were placed on waivers, and everyone knows that would probably sting if you're a veteran like Zach Smith. I love that chirp from Max
Domi. But the thing is you had some guys who are chirpy on the ice, they had that in their belt waiting for, in case there was. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, if Smith did something
Smith
to them.
Smith did something, like, that was a chirp that was coming. It's too bad. Like, we had to let Ray go, but Ray was a master at it.
I know.
Like, I don't know how many times
he's so quick-witted, right?
Like, Ray would just destroy people who were lined up by our bench. Like, destroy them. But not in a bad way. Like, you wouldn't, but it was funny. Like, it was, we would laugh, and the player would be like, all right, Ray, that's enough. Like, but that's why I kind of love leaving that alone, because I think 24/7 was that when the Rangers were on. You saw some chirping behind the scenes. I think Brad Richards was like chirping some guy, go back to the minors. And Matt Martin, I think, was jousting with somebody too.
Miller. Steve Ott. He was, remember during the Leaf Red Wing one, he went with Steve Ott and he was kind of going at him pretty extensively.
I like that stuff behind the scenes.
I love it.
And I thought that was a very clever chirp.
Yeah, it's not egregious or it's not, he didn't say anything racist or homophobic or anything. It just stings.
You were placed on
waivers and he is mouthing waivers
to
you.
You know, Max has got the piano key smile
right now,
the big teeth. He's got.
You just want to punch
him
right now.
Something about Mary. Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon.
Yeah.
Chompers.
He's got the chompers.
And he looks great. He's playing great. So right now, he's got a lot of confidence. Just smiling over there saying waivers, that would have been
infuriating last night.
Is there more or less of that, though, now than when you played? Like, you're between the benches. Do you hear less?
I hear less because I think, guys, it just happens so quickly. Mark Stone is a guy who is very competitive, so he has comments. It's usually the other team that's chirping, at the Sens players. There's guys. But every night there's somebody that says something.
Someone's always going
on the mute button. But I like it. Like, to me, it's gamesmanship. Aginla used to be a very good chirper. But it was more about, like, that's all you got for me? Let's go at this. Like, he used that as part of his excitement for the game.
Matt Chatham will join us, a three-time Super Bowl champ with the New England Patriots, who have a chance to win this weekend in Miami and lock up the 10th straight year atop the AFC. So we'll catch up with Matt. Adnan Verka, buddy's going to join us in the next hour as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Matt Chatham will join us, longtime NFLer. I believe he's working with The Athletic. Do you know him too? What's up with The Athletic, Jonas? Who doesn't work
at
The Athletic?
Should I Slack him and see what's up?
Yes. Send him, what is it called, a Slack?
Slack note.
Send him a note via Slack and see if he responds before 6:05.
All right.
Can you do that? Can you find him on there? I guess he would be.
Awkward.
Just say, hey, Matt, it's Jonas from The Athletic in Toronto. You're going to be joining me on the radio.
And they'll be like, okay,
thanks.
Great.
Or he'll say, actually, I'm not anymore, Jonas, exactly. Because you've been Take creeping me out on Slack.
Take a lap.
And Adnan Verk would join us. Adnan's a big movie guy, like you, Noodles. And
yeah.
See this Kevin Hart stuff where he agreed to be the host of the Oscars, and then they were digging up his old tweets. And
he doubled down.
He did, but then eventually he did apologize. And then he did apologize, and then he said, you know what, now that I think about it, pass, I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I understand the sensitivity of you know.
I won't watch 1 minute of it. I don't
the Oscars?
Need to hear,
I just don't know how you're going to get a squeaky clean comedian is the thing. Like, you know, if you're having comedians tell jokes that are not cool all the time and do not coincide with PC culture. They just don't. Every comedian, if you go back in the history of their acts, you're going to say, yeah, that was one that was... That's what comedians generally do.
Yeah.
So you're going to have trouble finding a comedian to host
Kathy
the Oscars.
Kathy Griffin. See how that went.
Remember Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes?
Yeah.
I loved him.
He was amazing.
Outstanding. Yeah.
But they hated him. Because he was exactly
he was ruthless,
what you said.
And he
ruthless.
He tuned some people up,
like big shooters, like Meryl Streep.
Mel Gibson, be like, remember that one?
Oh, the Mel Gibson one.
But he tuned everyone up, like everyone lives in a glass house. Every person in this life.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you can dig up everything you want, but
especially Hollywood, like, they're just so out of touch with. And I'm not a Kevin Hart fan. I know you think he's funny.
I think he's funny.
I do not find him funny at all. I never have. I have no problem with him not hosting, but...
There's one bit you should Google or YouTube about his mom. The first time his mom allows him to use a cuss word, and it's at school, and he yells at the teacher. It's actually a very funny bit. It's about a four-minute bit, though.
Okay, I'll check
it
out.
I'll
try to go in...
Like
unbiased without a built-in opinion, but that's basically impossible.
He's not for everyone.
I just
but
don't
I'm
find
a
him
big
funny.
Like Sebastian Maniscalco. I'm a huge fan of his, but I love comedy. Period. So there's a lot of guys that I like, and Tosh O and those guys go way overboard.
Offside. Yeah.
Yeah, Anthony Jeselnik, like those. Yeah. If you watch
those
like,
guys, aren't going to be in the running anyway.
Never,
they're going to try to get
but
someone squeaky clean.
I won't watch these because I want to see who wins. I don't want to hear what they have to say.
The production and all that stuff.
I don't care.
All right, Adnan's coming up in the next hour. Matt Chatham on the Thursday night or last night. What's going on this weekend in the NFL? We'll get back into the Leaf game last night. Tee up the wraps tonight. Lots going on. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.